It's been a long time since I've done any kind of devotional or sermon on here, and I was thinking of Psalm 149. Father, I pray you help me to do this in a way that honors you, that pleases you, that glorifies you, and that also edifies whoever might listen to and watch this video. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high places of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all the saints. Praise the Lord. Some few weeks ago, probably closer to a month ago, our church changed its name to Word of Life Church. And this new name deserves a new song, and the Lord deserves a new song. It says in Psalm 149:1, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Now, a new song is a product of a new heart. A truly converted spiritual person born again who sees God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the assembly of the saints. A new song is one of the sweet fruits of the new birth. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. By nature we do not see God. By nature we do not no, God, our sin clouds our vision. You must be born again, he says, even to Nicodemus, who was a leader of the Jews. You cannot see the kingdom of God without the new birth, yet with the new birth, you start seeing God's kingdom. We were once like unkissed frogs. Now we are kissed frogs, and we see the princess, we see the kingdom, oh, so differently than we did before. Before, we thought she might eat us, but, oh, we're kissed. And that's the fairy tale, but in Scripture, when we're born again, it's real. We have, when we are born again, new eyes. This is implied in what Jesus says about the new birth. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But if we are born again, we can see that kingdom. We don't automatically, when we're first converted, see everything about the kingdom, because we need to grow spiritually. We need to start seeing things and walking by faith and not by sight. And yet Scripture tells us there are things that we do not see, eyes cannot see, but and ears cannot hear. But they are revealed to us, according to 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. We have these new eyes that enable us to see. With these new eyes, we have a new mind. The natural man, the unconverted man, cannot comprehend or relish the things of God. As it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He has no understanding of them. He's never tasted them and seen that the Lord is good. His mind does not comprehend these things. And yet we have, according to 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Oh, my mind may not be much. I struggle to memorize verses now. And yet the mind of Christ is the mind. And if that's my mind, what more do I need? And so we have new eyes. We have a new mind. We have new ears. John 10:26-27, part of my devotional today. But you do not believe, this is Jesus talking to unbelievers, because you are not my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me. Jesus had just healed a man born blind, and the blind man testified to Jesus in front of people who were questioning that. Who did this? How did he do this? He didn't understand it. He's a wicked, wicked man. And he would not go with that. He said, I once was blind, but now I see. And how can he be wicked when he could do something that nobody else could ever do? Heal a man born blind. And they kicked him out of the synagogue because of this. But Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I have them in my grip, and they're in my Father's grip. And yeah, kick them out of your synagogue, but they'll be in heaven. That's what he was saying. But he also said, my sheep hear my voice. In Revelation 2:7, it says, Jesus speaking again, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And the same thing is repeated in verse 11, in verse 17, in verse 2:29, in verse 3:6, and 3:13, and 3:22. He who has ear, we have spiritual ears to hear the voice of Christ, to hear the voice of God's Spirit. It's one of the things we're blessed with when we become born again. And we have new ears, and so we hear that spiritual music. We can sing the new song. We have a new mouth, which is extremely different than the one we had before. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 3. This new mouth, as I said, is extremely different than the one we had before our new birth. As it says in Romans 3:13-14, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Oh, that's one of the first things you often see when somebody is converted dramatically. God changes their language quickly and powerfully. Here they were cursing. They were using the name of the Lord in vain. And yet when they become a Christian, oh, how they praise Him. Oh, how they love Him. Oh, how now they pray with their mouths. New taste buds. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Yummy, yummy, yummy. The things that we have in the Scripture, which is our spiritual food. Christ is our food. Old things have passed away. Now we delight in the law of the Lord, meditate in it day and night. We delight in the Lord Himself, and He gives us the desires of our hearts. And that's the next thing we have new, not just new taste buds, but a new heart. As it says in Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Or Ezekiel 11:19, then I will give them one heart and a new spirit put in you, within them, and take away the stony heart out of the flesh. Jeremiah 47, I will give them a new heart. I am the Lord, they shall be. I will be there. They shall return to me. earth is no small thing. It requires surgery, taking that stony, that hard, that heart that resists God out of us. Oh, what a bad disease we had when we had that hard heart. But now we have a new heart, a fleshly heart. It's soft. It cannot sin without pain. This new heart is one heart. It's the heart that all Christians have. Note, this new heart is a heart to know God. It says Jeremiah 24:7 or John 17:3. Jesus is praying, "This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." With our new song, with our new birth, we have not just this new heart and this new mind and these new eyes and these new ears, but we have new feet. Before, they were swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, Romans 3:15-16. But now, after, here's this before and after picture of our feet. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk upon my high hills. Feet to climb, feet to not just climb physical mountains, but the law was given from a mountain. And that mountain, oh, what a fearful thing was it, with the lightnings and the thunders and the voices, and the people begged that Moses would speak to them. God would not use His voice and speak to them. They begged that because they were so fearful. And yet when we have our new feet, when we have our new heart, when we have our new lives, we leap and bound on that mountain like with deer's feet. We start keeping God's law, not in our own strength, but in God's. These new feet are needed for new paths that God directs us to. As it says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." New feet. These feet are made for walking. Walking in obedience to God. Yes, that's what our feet are for. An entirely new identity. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, while the world does not know us, we're different because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but what we know that when He is revealed, we should be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." We don't even know how wonderful we will one day be when we are like Christ. A new song is appropriate for us considering all this. And we have a new name with that. Any newness is an opportunity also to recommit to God. God's mercies are new daily. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22-23. So our response to the mercies can and should be new and growing. We love Him because He first loved us. Everything is new. A new song, new mercies, new new face and identity, a new mind, new feet, new ears for hearing the Lord's voice. A new song is because of a joyous mutual relationship with God. One, we rejoice in Him. Let Israel, it says in verse 2, rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them sing. Let them praise his name with the dance. It's along with the singing is the dancing. It's the rhythm in the heart that dances. Let them sing praises to you with the timbrel and harp. Every instrument, bring it to God, to his praise. Because he made us for this. We rejoice energetically. B, we rejoice energetically. C, we rejoice creatively with music, with songs. Well, the songs themselves, I'm almost through with all of them. They were poems. They were artistically written. They took time to do these things. Rejoice in him, verse 2. Rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful. You're never right until you can be heartily merry in the Lord, nor until you can enjoy mirth in connection with holiness. Walter Marshall. Many people rejoice in sin. They enjoy the pleasures of sin and of the flesh. We are not right. We are not truly new until we enjoy holiness, until we enjoy worship, until we enjoy the things of God. 2, he takes pleasure in us and saves us. Verse 4, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. The humble, those who come to him, those who know they're poor in spirit, those who know that they are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We don't rejoice in ourselves because we see our own weaknesses, we see our own sin. And yet when we are humble, he, as he says, the blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they, they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We will be filled with that righteousness. Number 3, Roman numeral number 3. The new song is singable everywhere. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds, Psalm 149:5. In glory we will sing. Let the saints, when they get to heaven, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. That's an easy place to praise him. Verse 5, the saints in glory shall rest from their labors, but not from their praises. Robert Bellarmine. And then it says, let them sing aloud on their beds. Singing on their beds. Not a worship service meeting, but a continuation of worship and praise until the night when you're so excited you're not quite sleeping yet. You're still praising God. This is something we can do even when we are uncomfortable. You know, Paul and Silas did this in Philippi. They had a very uncomfortable bed when you think of it. It says, then the multitude rose together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Not exactly a comfortable thing, being beaten with rods. Being beaten with rods, thrown into a prison, your feet fastened in stocks. But it says in the next verse, verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners, the other prisoners, were listening to them. Yeah, this is strange. These people are just, they've just been beaten up and they're chained in here and they're praising the Lord. This has a whole lot of power connected to it, because it says in the very next verse, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors were open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. He's going to kill himself because he would have been killed anyway for letting his prisoners escape. But Paul called out with a loud voice, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must they do to be saved?" He knew it was God that did this. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew he needed salvation. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And your household." Not just you, your whole family. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And they took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. "Yeah, let's all have a feast. You guys don't need to be in the prison. You singers. Let's take you out of the stocks. You caused this earthquake, yeah. And you didn't run away. So let's have a meal, because we're all saved." It says he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. The praise of God is a battle cry. I don't know what's going on here, but let's see. The praise of God is a battle cry. I hope this is still recording at least the sound. It says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute them the written on them the written judgment. Dishonor have all the saints." Praise the Lord. Well, one day I guess we will punish the wicked. We'll only have that part in the judgment. In the Old Testament, they certainly did this. I think for now, the application for us as Christian believers is that we execute our sins. We battle with Satan. We have a sword while we're praising with our mouths. We have a sword in our hands to execute our sins. And we have this to do spiritual battle with Satan. Well, since this seems not to be recording, I'm going to close. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. And we pray that you'd be with us in wherever we are, and help us to praise you. Give us new hearts, even battling hearts against sin and Satan. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, whatever's going on.